other about writing, about words. Just get together and explore that. We can solve beyond the time for it to start getting into sharing this stuff. And I think that what's happening here today would be very rewarding for a lot of us. This chance to get into writing, to get into just discussing what we feel about the written word. And well, the benefit also came out of the idea that, say, we want to do something to benefit us all. Nobody wants to say, if you have some ideas on anything really, that we just keep them to ourselves, and this is one way of getting together to do that. A little bit about Azalea. I don't know if everybody has seen copies of Azalea, but it's a magazine by Third World, and we celebrated our first anniversary with the past winter issue of the May month. So that's the third issue for the fourth issue for the year. And it feels good to be able to say we're celebrating our first anniversary. But there were times when I think that we didn't think that we were going to make it to, say, get to the first anniversary. Yeah, that's true. When we got there, we didn't know we were going to make it to issue two. From a lot of things that were going on, just trying to get things set up, like getting contributions to fulfill the magazine, first of all. Can't have it, something to put in. Found that a lot of third world lesbians like the magazine and like to read it. And I don't know what it is with people that write or paint or draw or take photographs. The other connection isn't there to say, like, well, I want to contribute something. I find that we have a lot of support in terms of women reading the magazine, buying the magazine. And I hope that from today, women will feel like they want to contribute also. Not just like, the ideas that women have are good. You can't put ideas on print. You need something else to fill in that gap. We've had like some contributions that I think for a variety of different kinds. Graphic, poetry, short stories, journal pieces, various articles written, and I think that what's happening is that we've been getting like a lot of different things to put in the magazine, so that every time one comes out, you can't say, well, oh, this is just a poetry magazine, or, you know, just graphics, and some of everything involved in each issue. Also, I'd like to say that we want to have the flow of things going in terms of how the workshops are going on, so that if anybody here has needs, if they want to pass out anything, please don't hesitate during the workshop. We have an information table here, and if you run out of space, we'll make another table, so that will keep whatever is going on in the workshop uninterrupted. Another thing, we have women here from the Lesbian Herstory Archive, and Joan and Debbie, and Valerie, and we have women here from WBAI, Donna, and they would like to know if it's all right to take anything from the workshop, or if anybody wants their picture taken, they will ask you if you want your picture taken. Let me know, you know, just picture taking, you want to know about. taping going on, if you don't know about it. But if there's anybody that has any problem with the taping, you can request that it stop and you can speak and you can start. Is that all right with everybody? I'd like to thank the conference committee, the women that helped Joan, Linda, and myself put this thing together. And I see one woman here, Claudette Furlong, and she's been really helpful for years. I'm really glad she came to help. I want to read the schedule. There's been one change that I mentioned. We're going to have political poetry with Dorothy Garden and Rob Lowell here in this room. And the writing critique from 12 to 2 has been canceled for now. And it will happen on the third floor at 6 o'clock. We're going to have 2:30 to 5:30, give or take. Third World Feminist Criticism Workshop with Lorraine DeFell and Barbara Smith. Here's Barbara Smith. From 4 to 7, we have the role of the writer and influencing the positive book with Leah Page Daniels and Claudette Furlong. And again, the writing critique. That Joan Gibbs and Robert Summer Street on the third floor, 6 o'clock. Tonight, for the cultural event, starting at 8 o'clock, we'll have Candace Boyce, a black lesbian who is about to go on trial for defending herself against an assault by a white man, to speak about her case. That will be at 8 this evening. And we'll also have this evening music. Vocal music as well as instrumental. And that will be a donation and it'll go on a bit to go by 11 o'clock. And you have to pack up the chip bag first. I want to say that there's been a lot of, well, we've had a lot of roadblocks in our third world. Now that we're like exploring our ideas and expressing ourselves, we've made a lot of roads that we can travel onto and get along these roadblocks. With us being together and giving strength to each other, exploring our sense of power, all in every aspect that we have, and our power in words, our power in feeling, and that we can reach our individual and collective goals. That's all that I have to say. Is there anybody else that wants to say something?
Is there a designated time for
women
to read poetry?
Yeah, that's in the writing critique workshop. Yeah.
Doing the cultural
event, please. And doing the cultural event to see what's going to happen. We have a lot of room for the share. Anybody else?
I want to tell you how really important
happy I am to see so many of us here. And also in recognizing that the fact that this conference exists, with thanks to Robert, Linda, and John, and the other women who worked on it, nonetheless, the fact that this conference exists is an incredible testament to the power of Black lesbians, the power of Black women, I feel, to the power of us all, because this would have been inconceivable. In actuality, not in the idea, and this is why visions and poetry we're going to start talking about is so crucial and so essential in our living, because it is through poetry and our visions that we form an idea of the directions in which we wish to move. And the fact that 15 years ago this was a vision or a hope helped make it real now. And the visions that we are constructing, and the poems that we write, and the pieces of ourselves that we are willing to make tangible on paper, today will help to guide the future. And I think it's very important that we see that and that we be aware of the power within ourselves, and in particular that we be aware of the power of our words, and that we can use them. I'm really very glad to be here. Glad that you are also. Yvonne and I were talking, but because I know you think that it's all set up, and it never, never is. That's part of what keeps us fluid. I would really like, I think, first of all, for us to start talking a little bit about who you are, who are, who I am, who Yvonne is, and what you want from this group. Because I think that it would be not just impertinent, but a kind of old power. And when I say old power, I mean a power that we must deal with but is essentially restrictive. I think that it would be part of the old power for us to come in and say, well, all right, we're going to do a workshop on poetry and self and politics of poetry and continue with that, getting personal feedback from you. So what I would like very much to know before we move into presenting even the way we hope this will move, I would like to know who you are and what it is you want for these two, 3 hours that we're going to do together. It's scary, right? I didn't put you on the spot to say you, but I'm not yet to doing that. Donna?
I'm Donna, and I'm a writer, and I came here really to hear how other writers work, and what I feel is like they have that they hold up as, you know, this is what I need to do, this is my past pain, and I don't know, like what...
My name's Amina, and I'm also a writer. And I have pretty much an idea of whom I'm up against, because I see them every day. And I want to get a better sense of who I'm talking to and who wants to listen to me, and that's why I'm here.
In other words, a sense of community and connection, which is very similar to what Donna was saying also. Yeah. Because, you know, for every little inch, every little piece, every little drop of fear that you are in touch with right now about opening your mouth and saying, my name is X, multiply that by 10 for everyone else around you, you know? And that's part of our programming, that we do not speak, or if we speak, it's only in an internal direction, not outward. It isn't, in other words, your personal problem. And he was saying, who am I talking to? When we go on, as we move along, one of the real things that I think we must address ourselves to is, what does support mean, you know, in a community? What does support mean in a Black, lesbian, feminist community? What are our responsibilities to each other that we cannot even get to until we deal with our responsibilities to ourselves and the world? Thank you, Nina. That's someone. We all always have different agendas. That's a very theoretical word, but it really means we all have desires, right? I know what I want, from today. I really want to know what you are from today, too.
I have been very little, and I want inspiration. What's your name?
Milda. Inspiration to
from my sister?
Yes. My name is Sheila. And up until recently, I hadn't really considered myself a writer. My favorite sister is, and I had thought I was coming just for her benefit, but, but I
had to feel good to be doing it.
Yeah.
Welcome, Lorraine.
My name is Pamela, and I'm interested in how to get beyond feelings and into the more like the political ideas that motivate the feelings and that, feelings. How to get beyond the feeling and into political ideas that, motivate the feelings, that those kinds of feelings come from.
I can hear what you're saying. I have to tell you that I feel very differently about it, and I think this is something then that we will also talk about. I think there is no beyond feeling. Once we get into feeling, it is out of those feelings, as I say again, it is out of those that as an integral part of them arise our ideas. In other words, that what we understand waits upon what we know. And being willing to deal with feelings will advance with our understanding and give an attritional place for idea. I think it is a very Western European approach to learning, and one which has not served us, essentially, to think in terms of ideas being in some way advanced.
To connect.
In other words, how to focus all of you on work. That's very important.
You feel this into the politics.
Yeah. How to like really bring them together into a whole rather than having them.
Yes.
You feel one way about your job and you feel another way about what you believe politically and how to really consolidate them.
How to consolidate, how to focus all of yourself. I think that's really very important. We split so much, we are encouraged to deal with only one piece of ourself over here, one piece over there. And you're talking about what are some of the ways we can bring them together.
You are older than others.
Why do you think it's hard to speak? Because we're in a workshop and you came really wanting to do something and you have to talk about something. Why do you think it's hard to say to talk about yourself?
Why are you so reluctant to get into it?
Because
Vicki?
I guess I can't hear it again before from the teacher here, because I just don't get it, you know, outside. I just don't get it, and I don't know. I can't hear it expecting everybody else, and I guess they can't hear it expecting the same thing.
That's right. Say that again.
I came here expecting to hear other people and the things that they went through, and I guess they felt the same way. You know, I was here to listen and get support from other people. You know, they felt the same way. Because, maybe, you know, when you hear so much about or what you're trying to find, you don't know how to express it, so you want to listen to the other, you know, others to hear and find out, you know, how you can relate to them, your experience. So you don't feel, well, I'm the only one that goes out here and, you know, everything's not working out. You know, I'm not getting published. Why? They're not reading my stuff because, you know, lesbian literature, and that's not what's selling in New York.
Okay. Not just in New York. You're not getting bought because you are seen, and we are all seen correctly as dangerous. And we need to understand truly, I think, how dangerous we are. Because the opposition certainly does. And in case, or whatever may be here, we can go on record saying that. We come back, and we're going to circle all through our discussions, I think, today, more and more to the point of what fear is and how it is used, how it is the bottom line of all of our conditioning, and how it functions in terms of keeping us mute. And along with that goes that you have to remember something. Being silent has never brought you anything. I mean, if it's supposed to buy you safety, wealth, fame, why aren't we all rich and settled? We're not. So you have to stop thinking the function of fear and silence. Mm-hmm.
Well, going back on that, I think of, I know for myself, I'm afraid, well, I guess it comes out of being afraid, because when I, let's say if I don't get published, I feel this lack of self-confidence in myself. Well, maybe it's not good. You know? And when you're constantly facing this every day, or whenever you want to get published, or you write,
can I ask you something, one thing? How do you know when it's good? I mean, what?
Well, I feel I think it's good when I feel it's good, you know, when I write it. But then, I guess you have nothing to back it up when it's not getting published. You know, that good feeling kind of dissipates after a while. And you say, well, I know it's good, but nobody's reading it. But, you know, I wrote it. And
so what you are also talking about, again, is the need for community, the need for contact, communication, and audience. In other words, also the need for feedback.
Right, because you don't know, I mean, me writing it, I'm going to say it's good. But then another lesbian might read it and say, well, I really don't think it's good enough. Or can give me some constructive criticism.
That's very, again, what you just said. Another lesbian might read it. Then when we start thinking about what, or defining within ourselves, the people we are trying to reach, who are we talking to outside of ourselves, which parts of ourselves are we speaking to externally and others? And if you put that together with the structures that we exist under because we form, because we have a function in that. That is not how I define myself, that is not how each one of you defines yourself. It would be ludicrous to believe, therefore, that those structures will provide voices for the authentic pieces of ourselves. In other words, more and more we work toward being able to our work as another real part of our lives. For many of us, that is still a path that we work on, because every day, right, we have these commandments to pay rent, all of those. Of course, we really need perhaps less than what we think, but nonetheless, we do need. Nonetheless, we do need. Okay, when you say then, another lesbian might read it, what you're saying is, I have already defined in my head a certain wide circle to whom I am addressing myself. Well, when we talk about constructing our own institutions, when we talk about the needs for finding perhaps alternative ways of making contact, of decimating information, of communicating with each other, we have to think very really about constructing. Because so long as we remain totally dependent on that structure within which, of course, we all exist, we are asking for our enemies to ratify us. and this is not the way in which progress or change really takes place. We exist all the time, I believe, on a double, at least, on double tracks. We exist in a framework, and we exist in terms of our vision, where we see ourselves on the pathway of the vision we talk about in the structure. And we have to maintain an idea of ourselves on those two tracks, I think, at all times. This is not a theoretical discussion. These are not theoretical things I'm saying. These are survival techniques I'm talking about. So, yeah. Well, all right, so. Oh.
So I'm a chef, and I'm a writer, too. And one of the things that I find that I need is for students to give feedback to me in terms of what they think I should be doing, what they think I should be working on. Not necessarily, you know, if someone tells me that I can go out and write that, you know, but, you know, I need what direction they think I should be doing. Writing in a community, this stuff is so unusual. You know, it's okay if I'm going out and writing fiction, and there's a need for something else to be written. I think that I have part of the responsibility to do that, to feel that, you know, so I need people to give back to me what they would like to see being written.
But, I speaking out in terms of content, and speaking out in terms of a sense or function, I mean, or are you speaking in terms of, I heard you say, well, fiction or poetry or so forth, and those I think are different things, we, or are they not to you?
No, so what I'm saying is that, it's like, I believe a community functions in many ways, and say we as writers or we as artists or whatever have certain tools that we can use to help the community function. And so maybe what I write is fiction, but maybe I can help the community function in a certain way by writing something else, by writing a piece for a newspaper, say, within the community, or by writing a poem or something like that. And I, you know, maybe I can't do that again, but I need feedback from the community to know if what I'm doing is serving them, you know? Because I think that's the way to keep connected. You know, and I may not otherwise just see my own vision.
You may not see your own vision.
Just seeing my own vision, I may not be connected to the community.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. I think then, let's define perhaps, let me define what I meant in terms of vision. Or private vision, but a vision that helps dictate a future that we all share. We, each of us, alright, why am I spending so much time? Why am I talking? Why am I trying to encourage you to talk about self? It's important, I think, to look at that. It is because you cannot, I cannot, let me put it exactly where it's at. I cannot even think, discuss, deal with the function of writing, what poetry is. Poetry is political, poetry, period, without beginning with self, even from any one of you. And I tell you, and this will probably be right first of the bomb, it is not possible for us to ever see each other. How can we meet ourselves face to face until we have faces? It is not possible to deal with communicating, support, contact, that dielectric that is so essential to growth that happens when we meet. It is not possible to meet until we have a sense, each of us within ourselves, of who it is we wish to meet with, who it is we wish to present. And that fluctuates, that changes constantly. Because I'm not today exactly who I was yesterday or tomorrow, but there is a thread that runs true, and that thread I identify as Audrey Moore. So for each one of us. And it is mandatory when we talk about writing as power, when we talk about communication, when we talk about that dielectric, that we can all take part in, it is absolutely essential that we recognize it begins there for each one. Power does not come from pieces coming together. It comes from as whole individuals as we can be working for something that we believe. And this is why we cannot talk about poetry as politics. We cannot talk about politics without, first of all, talking about rallying that which is within each of us and then being at least willing to open it out. That is the primary fear. That is the primary, that is the source of what we shiver under. That's the source of your lips sewn shut or mine. To this day, every time I stand up and start talking, my voice quivers. Now, what kind of garbage is that? It starts like that. Well, we have learned to work when we are tired, and all of us have the time to work when we're on our asses. We can work when we're tired, we can also work when we're afraid. Being afraid is no reason to be silent, it's no reason to sit there and wait for someone to tell you what you want to hear. What you want to hear will come out of an open exchange between you and the sister next to you, between you and me, along with the passengers. Nobody is going to tell you anything that will eventually be to your benefit. Neither me nor anyone else. You will find coming up between us something that you can do. I will define it one way and you will define it another. But it is the process that we all take part in. And the prohibition against our feeling, the prohibition against touching that place that our feeling comes out of, that our images come out of, that our poetry comes out of. It is the prohibition against touching those places, which is also the prohibition against speech, which is also the prohibition against looking into each other's eyes and not turning away. It's the same prohibition.
Imani, and I'm a writer, and I didn't say anything before because I was thinking, you know, taking everything in, and you know, I want to say to Paris that you know, it's all very much connected. You know, we live for the one, and the one is, you know, will bring us to the whole. In other words, you know, what Audrey said about everything being so disconnected in this Western world. You know, we study, you know, one phase of, when we study history, what is it? It's, you know, it's all split up into various sections, whereas it's all supposed to be connected. See, so our job is to put all that together, all of that which is really us, you know, and, you know, together with all of the arts, we're all disconnected from not only is poetry separated from playwriting, which is separated mm-hmm. from novel writing, which is separated from essay writing, mm-hmm. you know, and it's really about the oneness, you know.
Thank you.
long as it tastes good, right?
Right, it tastes good. I mean, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, I can dig clay around clay and have some shoes in my hands, I can't make anything. And then sometimes I make things, you know, I make a torso, and it looks like, oh, somebody says, oh, that's a ball. I can remember even more fun in terms of
because that the message that really gets across is a message that feels good in the giving and the taking as well, because we can't separate it. I'm thinking about putting together with what you were saying and what Diane's saying now, that it is not merely enough that it be the correct message. If it does not function for what you are giving the message for, and that power of connection is going to have to come with the kinds of things that Diane is talking about. Quiet, or we can live it doing something that feels good, right, which is our work. Okay, survival and teaching, I define as my work, and everything feeds into that.
Okay, so if you take that, then it's like you realize from the beginning that you're not enough to catch everyone's ear.
That's right.
That's right. Something that an enlightened should define first.
Well, I don't think
have
there
an anchor so that when you all sit on four, five, whatever, you know, you have a way of strength, right?
And where does that strength come again? And that's the first piece. And what's the second piece? From contact, right? That there be some feedback. I need your feedback. You need us. We all need each other. Keep that in mind, because one of the questions that have come up in just a little while is, all right, if you are a poet, why aren't you poeting, and what does support mean? So we'll get to that. Yes, Cheryl.
I just got a feeling that I think we try to reach too many people at one time. They're not personal to me, because if we can touch just one person, that one person
deeply
can touch somebody else, then the circle will continue to move.
Did you hear, Diane?
No.
Say it again.
I think we have too far a range. My personal belief is that if you can just touch one person, and maybe that one person can touch somebody else, and the circle will continue. You know, it doesn't make any difference if 10 other people, if one person understands what you're saying, then the other, as far as I'm concerned, the other 9 don't really make that much difference. Somebody else will touch them in another way.
I think that doesn't make a difference. We, again, are programmed to think in terms of large numbers, 50 million, right? 100,000 people stealing the smallest violin in the world. That means nothing.
you touch, really touch, you are absolutely right. You touch one life profoundly. And most people live their whole lives and never do, this is a quote, excuse me, from Roots, but it's true. Most people live their whole lives and never do that much because they have been programmed so totally outside of themselves. You have work to do. You're very privileged. I'm very privileged. We are all privileged to recognize a piece of our work, and we got to do it. And when it touches one person, hey, that's a lot more than most of us are given. We hope they will touch more and more, but there's no such thing as a universal poem. Who wants to write a universal poem? Who wants to paint a universal picture? I mean, how deadly. We can, might as well just all turn off the button and stop. I'm not that simple. You're not that simple. And we go on changing.
I'm tired of talking. You would like to talk?
I just have to speak on that. Something my babysitter taught me about mirrors and their reflections. So I think the whole concept of why we need to speak and all this stuff. Why we need to speak, and when we think we're looking for community, how much that whole thing is really the same thing. It's really the same thing. We need to speak to know who we are. Okay? We must speak to know who we are, to put it out there, and to see what our visions are, what our images are, what our fears are, and the whole history of that, of those visions and fears, because they're old. It's a legacy, that fear, that keeps us here, not willing to open our mouths. It's the old thing we inherited. And as women, and certainly as black women, we have a whole legacy of fear that if we, when we are brave enough, we sometimes look at it, confuse it, image it, and examine it, and we shiver with it. Sometimes we get beyond it. But we write, we speak. I say speak because I spoke before I wrote.